I needed to find a date, and I didn't want it to be while I was still here because I'm going on vacation. So I picked a date
in the middle of your vacation.
Upon my return, I'm coming back. But no, in all seriousness, it's after the summer league. It's after it wraps up. You've got time to meet and really think this over.
Yeah, but do you really don't want to coach when the summer league is going on?
I mean, honestly, so Pacum Dottier can be coached by or talked to by the new head coach. Like, we really going to make a big deal out of that?
I mean, because isn't that part of the process? Is that you need the new head coach to develop the young players?
Yeah, at the NBA level, once the season starts.
So he's not doing it.
Well, he's not doing it, but it's not because it's ideal. You're doing it because you're still searching for the right head coach. And maybe even giving Jason Kidd time to do his snake things to get out of what's going on in Dallas. So I'm just trying to tell you a date where I'd say, okay, this is a little weird. Can they get this thing done? And I would say July 18th is the time. What's your date?
It's way before that, but not significantly.
Today?
I would say...
Oh, yeah, June 27th?
No. But you're close. I'm saying like a week and a half, so 10 days. So let's say July... What is July 4th on a Friday? So let's say July 6th.
July 6th.
Okay.
And that's when you say, all right, what the hell is going on? Fair.
Yes.
I'm going with July 18th. Tommy, are you sticking with opening night? Is that really something you're going to stick with?
I am, but I'm flexible. I can go like 10 days before.
So you're not going to be bothered if we're sitting here on August 1st, there's no Knicks head coach?
Not at all.
No bother.
That a head coach has ever been hired.
Well, there's technicality to that because the Celtics were forced to fire Ime Udoka.
Right. That's right.
And that happened like late August, early September.
Yeah, that's right.
So I wouldn't count that because he was fired. Like there were circumstances. Right. That's a great
question.
But
they were fine, though.
Yeah, well, they promoted Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
And it was what it was. It's a very different scenario, though, to your point. Like, firing a coach, not having a head coach, and then hiring somebody, we're probably entering that kind of territory. We're probably relatively close. But you're telling me, Tommy, because you're going to lose me, and I've been a very big ally of yours with this Knick defense.
Yeah.
You're going to lose me on August 1st, probably earlier because I gave July 18th as my date. Are you going to fight this fight by yourself against the world? Because I don't think anybody will be on your side if we're in August and they don't have a head coach.
Wouldn't be the first time. I'll plant the flag there. I would say that the system's in place, and yes, you want to add a couple of role players to the bench, and I'm sure some of those fellas would like to know who the head coach is, but I'd like to know a lot of things sometimes, and I'm kept in the dark. So
who should run practices in camp if they don't have a head coach?
Brunson,
yeah. Okay.
Both of them.
Well, that's the thing. Exactly.
let the bees.
You have a good veteran leader, and you have a coach who's been there for whatever.
Right. I have veteran leadership. Right. I have a guy on the bench that knows the system, so we're sitting and waiting, doing the due diligence. I'm cool with that.
Can you do me a favor, Teague?
Yes.
So I've got three down now. I'm looking for a fourth, and I'll make it official Twitter poll.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the dumbest ideas Tommy's ever had.
Okay.
Number one, obviously, presented to Pete yesterday, the lineup idea.
Greatest response ever.
Where Pete wanted to throw him in a trash can.
Hard no.
Hard no, as Pete said. We've got this, which is, I don't need a head coach till opening night.
Hard no.
Or 10 days before.
Or 10 days before. And the third one I have written down, which you may have forgotten, but this is legendary. This is legendary stuff.
I think I know the one you're talking about. Mm.
The Soto share plan.
Yes. Where the Mets and Yankees would both sign Juan Soto to a 15-year contract. They would share him throughout the season, 50-50 split. And we'd, you know, if it got to October, we'd go from there.
So there is another one, and I'm going to have to think about it. I'm going to rack my brain.
There's a fourth one?
Yes.
Go ahead. Is,
but I can't remember it. So I'm going to give me some time, and I'll come up with it.
Do you remember?
Sure wasn't DeVito related?
No, it wasn't.
That was more of an opinion than
an
idea.
That was an opinion. Yeah, it was something else, but it was football.
It was football related?
I just have to think of it.
Do you remember what Tiki is referring to, Tommy, since you're the brain with these amazing ideas?
No. Okay. Brain's always moving. I forget the ideas.
Those are the three I have written down, and I got to tell you, I still think it's a landslide. Like, as great as that lineup thing was when you presented it to Pete and his reaction yesterday, I still think it is going to be almost impossible to knock off the Soto share play.
Yeah. That was
like that's an all timer.
That was an all timer. Yeah. I mean, and look at where we are at. You know, look at all the hatred, which I like. But I mean, it would have all been, you know, fixed if we just would have shared Juan Soto, a custody of Juan Soto. You see it all the time.
Let him start with the Yankees, get hot, and then go over to the Mets
and play for both teams during October. And if we get a Subway World Series, he alternates games.
Now that we're here,
if that plan happened in real life, could we just go there for a second?
No.
Let's just go there where Tommy's plan happened in real life and Soto was playing a game for the Mets. Would it be acceptable to wear a Soto Yankees jersey to that game?
Yeah, I think at that point all bets are off, Sean.
Yeah, okay. That's... All right.
Let's go to our friend Kendrick in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
What up, Kendrick?
Hey, guys. Yeah, so we did the other night, Evan. I do want to get to the Mets, but what I will say, in terms of the road to a championship, last year the Nova Knicks took claim to the Vatican. Well, after the draft, I'm going to say that the Tova Nets are on their way to the promised land, and I hope that these international stars can do some damage in the NBA. We'll see about that.
Look, the one thing we got going for ourselves is that I have no idea what Igor Damin and Nolan Traore are going to be at the next level. I mean, we saw a little bit of Drake Powell and Danny Wolfe, but who the hell knows? It's just very tough to have any faith in this decrepit organization that we root for.
It definitely wasn't easy that night and the next day, but it is what it is. Now, with the Mets, there's two things I want to bring up. A few weeks ago, I called. I said I believe in Joe Kenley, and I was talking about Joe Adell and Kenley Jansen. You guys said that Kenley Jansen wanted to be a closer, and now today you're talking about Aroldis Chapman, you know, being a closer role. You know, earlier in the season, Rafael Devers got a lot of slack for saying he didn't want to play first base. I never understood, and I get that the pitchers are very routine-oriented, but it would be like a field goal kicker saying, I'm only kicking from 45 for game winners, in the sense of you're a bullpen arm. Like, if you get traded for an arm, you pitch where the coach or the manager tells you to. Right. And I would just throw this out also. You know, Edwin Diaz, I don't want to look past this year, obviously, but he's not guaranteed to come back next year. I hope he comes back. But come playoff time and come just for the Mets to see, maybe Kenley or Chapman comes here.
I'll tell you why.
You get them for the cheap.
No, but I'll tell you what,
so
the difference
is. Talking about having insurance. That's what he's talking about.
They're not the right guys to have insurance with. There are other guys. I'll tell you.
They're too old.
Well, also, they're not only too old. Here's what Kenley Jansen and Aroldis Chapman have done in free agency. They have purposely signed with teams that would allow them to close. So, obviously, it means a lot to them. Kenley Jansen had a chance to sign, I think, with the Mets. I think the Mets had an offer out for Kenley Jansen this past offseason, and he made a decision, which I completely respect, to say, hey, I have a lot of saves in my career.
Right.
I want to be a Hall of Famer. I want to save games. Now, I don't think Kenley Jansen's a bad guy. Like, if the Mets acquired him, would he come here and refuse to be a setup man? No way he would do that. But I am concerned about asking someone who's done something his entire career, even if he's willing to do it begrudgingly, to now do it and be successful. If you want insurance for Edwin Diaz leaving, then you trade for Emmanuel Clase if he becomes available.
Right.
A young guy under team control who's elite, who I think at this point is wanting to get paid, so will gladly do whatever the hell you want. I think Jansen and Chapman are just the wrong guys because both of them have gone out of their way in free agency over the last few years to go to places where they'll close. So asking that guy in the middle of a pennant race to now do something they didn't want to do.
Right, to come to a place where you have a closer and he's not going anywhere this year. He's healthy and he looks great.
And you want this guy to be effective.
Yes.
Like, is he going to be effective when he's now in a role he's not used to? Like, you're risking a lot, and I'm just telling you, I'd rather not risk that. Especially with those two guys, because they've shown that before in their past, that they don't want to be a setup man. Right. Like, a guy like Emmanuel Clase, I'm using him as an example because I think it's possible the Guardians would sell him off. He's got to, and it was going to cost a lot. And we can have that debate. Is it worth giving up what it's going to take to give up to get him? Very different animal. And that's insurance for Edwin Diaz. Because then Edwin Diaz opts out. You say, fine, Emmanuel Clase is the closer. I think he's just very, very different. And so, when it comes to bullpen arms, which I think the Yankees are going to have to go after as well, I would be more in line to say, you know what? Let me take those lottery tickets more than going big game hunting for veteran closers. What do you got, Sean?
Griffin Canning, the Mets have announced officially a left ruptured Achilles.
Right? Mm. Kind of knew it was coming. Right. Sad news. Have they announced a timetable on something like that? Or is it just ruptured Achilles, whatever?
Ruptured Achilles. We don't have a timetable yet.
What's a timetable on something like that for a pitcher?
It depends. Are you Aaron Rodgers pitching or are you Kirk Cousins trying to come back? I mean, it's just one of those. I think it's probably 10 months, maybe 12. Which one was it?
His left.
So that's his push leg. That'll make a difference. He's a righty. So
So that would be his plant leg then.
Right. That would be his plant leg. So probably less of an issue you worry about the push leg.
Mm.
So either way, it's a long rehab.
It's a long road.
Painful rehab.
And he signed a one-year contract.
I know.
I'll make you a little prediction on what's going to happen here with the Mets. He's going to be a free agent. I think the Mets are going to sign him to what they call a one-plus-one deal, one-year deal with a team option on a second year. They will rehab him next year. If he comes back, fantastic. And if he doesn't, then they've got a team option on him for the following season. So I don't think we've seen the last of Griffin Canning as a New York Met. I would guess he's going to be back, but just horrible news for him. You know, we talk about the impact it had in last night's game, the impact it has in the Met rotation, which is significant, but you feel terrible for this kid.
Right.
Because he was really starting the pitch like a solid back-of-the-rotation major leaguer.
Right.
And it all went awry on such a weird play, man, because I'll tell you, it was a ground ball to third base. I see the play made, or shortstop, I forget which one. Third base, I think. I look down at the score, and then I hear a gasp. I'm like, what the hell just happened? I look up, and I see someone laying on the ground, and I hate to tell you what my first reaction was. My first reaction was, I hope that's not Pete.
Why would it be Pete?
Why would it be Griffin Canning? Yeah, like, think about it. I just watched a ground ball to third base. Like, why would it be anybody? So then I was like, oh, it's not Pete. And I was like, who the hell is that? I was like, oh, it's Griffin Canning. And I feel bad still, but you're looking around saying, who's on the ground? What the hell just happened?